Hello, everyone. Welcome to this bonus edition of the Flats and Shanks podcast. Now, you know who I am.
Tom the boy. You know who I am.
I do know who you are. In a lovely yellow top today.
It's a bonerous edition.
It is. I'm excited. I'm excited because we've got a couple of golfers coming on this pod. And you know how much I love golf.
Tommy, for the listeners out there, Tommy likes golf significantly more than he likes rugby. And he loves rugby. I'd say that's fair, isn't it?
I'd say you're 100% true.
Yeah.
I watch it all the time. I live it. I breathe it. Just can't putt.
Really?
Wow. That's why I like playing better ball, match play. Get loads of gimmies then. You don't have to putt out the 3 footers. You can have that, mate. It's fine.
But you're a beast, aren't you? Like, you can hit it a long way.
Sometimes. If I connect. Not as much of a beast as someone like Craig Quinnell, who came out to Palmer on the Cardiff Blues golf charity trip for the raising funds for the Blues Foundation, whatever, that's what I do. He munches it with, it's like a baseball swing, mate.
But he's one of those guys that he could get a cricket ball and throw it 80 metres.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
Exactly that. It's like a...
Like Scott Quinnell's the same.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Played with him recently at the Celebrity Cup. Yeah.
Good. And they're both physical freaks.
Just smash it, mate. Honestly, they just connect with it. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
But
it's like,
flies.
If I go to the gym, I can do all right and I can push decent weights and I can lift a lot. And if I go 10 pin bowling, I just can't chuck it that fast. I think I just haven't got the levers or the coordination or something.
I tell you what though, if I put a harness on you, you could tow an Arctic like no one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'll get it shifted.
Yeah, exactly.
If you've got a small to medium car that's slipped into a ditch, there's a good chance I'll get it out for you.
If there's a Mini on its side, you'll push that over, no problem. Yeah. But I am super excited because we're at Cumberwell Park. We're playing a golf day here, a charity golf day for Dorothy House. There's quite a few boys here. We've just seen Jerry Guscott's around.
Leonard's about, isn't he?
Yeah, Rob Henderson.
Craig Chalmers.
Matt Powell.
Yeah.
What?
Dorothy House is a lovely charity and it's got nothing to do with this podcast, but it's just a really lovely charity in Bath. So just Google it if you want.
And also Eddie Pepperell and Laurie Cantor come in. Now, I love golf. I've watched them both play. They're on different tours, but more so with Eddie, who's more on TV than Laurie at the moment. No disrespect to Laurie. Eddie is sort of flying at the moment.
Laurie's going to get there, mate. He's going to get
there. Yeah, it's just different times, isn't it?
Yeah.
Late developers, but Eddie's having a fantastic season. He won the Masters last year, which I'm sure we'll talk about, British Masters. Finished second this year. So doing really well at the moment. Played out in Augusta at the Masters as well, I believe. So, you know, what a course to play on with the history of that. So really excited about...
And he's not in the room yet, so we can be nice.
With them.
Met him before. He's a very bright guy, isn't he?
Very bright. Just before I forget, there's still a couple of tickets left for the 17th of August at the Cardiff Walkabout in the morning. If you go on our Instagram pages, you can see where to buy tickets. It's in the bio. Andy Powell's coming along, so let's be honest,
mate. Get ready.
Might have to put some tan on because it could be tops off.
It could be. We might have to do a bit of editing on that one.
It could be tops off. I might have to sellotape my right hand just so I don't buffalo.
Yeah.
It's going to be loose. It's going to be great. And that's the 17th of August. Prior to Wales v England, 9:30 for 10 o'clock start, early.
It'd be brilliant, that.
Liquid breakfast. We did it before. It was brilliant. We had Shane Williams, and we've gone up another level.
How good was Shane at that?
Brilliant.
He's like,
how good is he at anything?
Yeah, he's a wizard.
Yeah.
But I love it when, legend's an overused term, Shane Williams comfortably qualifies as a legend.
Comfortably.
And he turns up something like that, and people buy it because he was a great player. People buy the tickets because he was a great player. And we have him there because he was a great player. But when they just, as good as he was on the mic, he was just class. He had to eat out the palm of his hand, didn't he?
I know. We've got a different type of legend
coming
to this one. So
I think this one will actually be even better. So there aren't many tickets actually going. So just try and grab one if you can.
Wear a stab vest.
Yeah, wear a stab. Definitely wear a stab vest.
I wouldn't say wear a stab vest. I say wear a Gore-Tex top because you don't get beer on you, do you?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, boy? We probably can't do a proper one, can we?
No, it can't be too long. Not a great deal, my friend. Popped away to Ibiza with a few friends.
Having it with you?
Nah, not like that, mate. Long lunches, bed by 2, up the next day, down by the pool, start drinking about 11, responsibly.
Yeah.
More long lunches. Went to Blue Marlin.
Wicked place.
Wicked place. Yeah. Saw Gary Lineker there.
Good boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Great guy. Never met him.
I just saw him. Went, all right, Shanks. How's Premier Sport and Pro 14? I was like, brilliant, mate. How's match of the day? Yeah. Missing Alan?
Yeah.
No, didn't go like that at all.
Laurie, I'm confused because Laurie Cantor's here. I was about to say Laurie's my favourite. The guy who's on Match of the Day forever. Laurie.
Alan Hansen.
No, not Alan Hansen. I love Alan Hansen.
Des Lynam.
Not Des Lynam. He's one of the pundits. You know, he's sort of.
Mark Lawrenson.
Mark Lawrenson.
Okay.
Love Mark Lawrenson.
Good impression. That's how I got it.
Yeah. Very good.
Playing the Celeb Cup up at the Celtic. A bit of a last minute invite. I think Chris Gunter was going to play, Welsh footballer, but he was a bit flaky. So they invited me a couple of weeks before, 3 weeks before.
Yeah.
And.
Happy with that?
Brilliant, mate. Loved it. And Bubs on the bag on the first day. Jono Pritchard on the bag the second day. But great fun, social fun. Boozing. Play with Gareth Edwards. Play with Jiffy.
Nice. Is Jiffy good at golf?
Yeah, he's good
at golf. I bet he is, yeah.
Played against Roy Lawson, Jenny Faulkner.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's a very good golfer. Mrs. Brown's boys. They were there. Played against Brendan. And,
and his wife, Jenny. I can't believe that's a TV show, but it's very popular, isn't
it? He's one of the funniest blokes I've ever met.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of the funniest.
Oh, I love that.
They're raising money on the gala dinner night, and Peter Jones said he'd give 20 grand to this charity, and the owner of Sale was there as well, and he said, I'll match it as well. And all he could hear was Brendan, who's the main character, Mrs. Brown's boy. He goes, oh, you know, fuck it, I'll do 100. And the guy goes, 100 grand? He went, no, 100 quid. He just things like that the whole time. He's just funny all the way around.
Yeah.
And that was great fun. I loved it. I don't think I'd get invited back next year.
Why?
Too good. Didn't lose.
Really?
Yeah.
You played really well.
Yeah.
Oh,
and also, it was a bit rugby heavy in the team. We had Scotty Quinnell, captain, Jiffy, Sir Gareth, Geth Jones, Phil Glenister, actor, and me.
I remember Warren Gatland saying about your paraphrase a bit, Shanks wasn't very good, wasn't that good, but he produced something close to his best every time he played. Is that mental strength? Is that why he got so many caps? Is that why he played so well at the Celeb Golf Day?
I find that a bit of a backhanded compliment, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd put a montage on all forms of social media. So, I mean, you look at my assist for Shane Williams in his try against Fiji.
Yeah.
Yeah? It was harder not to score that try than to score it.
Yeah.
You know, where he ran 80 metres. And
you met my mate Ruta, didn't you? Because he was caddy in the tins at the Celeb Golf Day.
Ruta.
Ruta, what a boy, isn't he?
What a boy. Got on really well with him, probably better than you now.
Yeah.
And the way I describe Ruta dance technique is, Kelvin Fletcher was a great dancer.
Right.
He was from Emmerdale, right?
Yeah.
Been on the roids. No, he's not been on the roids, just works out.
Yeah. But
unbelievable dancer. You know, just someone, and I was trying to copy him, but it just wasn't working.
You're quite a good dancer though.
I'm not. Rapper. But Ruta dances like the video from Fatboy Slim, Praise You.
Yes.
That's his technique. Yes. That's his technique.
Yeah.
What I did do, though, was got 8 belts off some of the guys there and created a extra large skipping rope.
Excellent.
In the middle of the dance floor. Yes.
Excellent.
And Hoggy, opposite me, was the other turner, and we just went.
Hogmeister General.
And I'm doing the action now, you can't tell, but we just went round and round, and people were jumping in.
So nice.
Yeah. Refreshing.
So not, yeah, something new.
Yeah.
Something new. Oh, well done.
So that's been it, really, mate.
Oh, well done.
And now that's July. August now, the games start off. We've got loads going on.
I know.
Make sure you follow us and we'll tell you about it. But what about you? You've been down Cornwall, Devon?
Don't go to Cornwall, mate. Why go to Cornwall? We can stop in Devon. Yeah, took my mum to Chile.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, it's good. Took mum and basically she was 70 last year, so for her 70th birthday present was her dream holiday. And we've probably done this on the pod before, but I can't remember. But my brother's severely disabled, so mum looks after him every day and whatever. Mm. And he's a legit great bloke, and mum never begrudged it for a day in his life. But he's 32, she never gets a break. So I said to my dad, right, I'm going to take mum away, just me and her. And her dream holiday was Chile. And you basically, you looking back, you'd probably do both. You'd probably do a few days in the Atacama Desert in the north, and you probably fly down, long flight, mind, Chile's a vast place, and you do a few days in the south in Patagonia. We didn't do that. We did wine regions. We did Santiago, Valparaiso, which was amazing.
Was there a code red in Santiago?
There was a code red. And we went to the desert and it was just like, my mum's a geographer, so it's like, it was just her thing. We roomed together. So on the last night we had separate rooms, didn't like it. But I said, mum, we're going to room together because it's going to be a great experience and, you know, we'll be all right. We can, you know, I'll use the toilet in the lobby. It'll be fine. And also saves loads of money.
Was there separate beds or was it?
Separate beds, yes.
I know you're close family, that was all.
But we did, you know, Powley, Matt Powell,
who's breastfed you to 15.
Eh?
What? Carry on, Matt Powell.
Yeah, bitty. It's convenient for that. His wife does travel PR and she put me in touch with the company originally titled South American Specialist. And it's one of those things like, do I need someone to arrange all this stuff for me? And it's not cheap. And yeah, I did it all and it was like, that was class, man. It's
number one son, mate. That's a lovely class. Thing to do. Well done. I take everything I've just said behind your back.
Yeah.
Downstairs
thank you.
To all the lads.
I went on a little break to Mallorca for a bit. Went on a little mini break to Lisbon in Portugal, just a few days. And it's Devon now for me, really. But of course, we've got these games, haven't we? These warm up internationals. And I'm enthused. I'm ready. I'm up for it. But I kind of, it's one of those things I'd love to not do any work in August.
I know why, because you're going to the World Cup for a long time, so yeah. That's sort of putting you off. But
I'm leaving my kids.
You'll be
2 months.
Excited because they're big games.
No, they'll be great, and I'm going up on the day and coming back for most of those games, which is absolutely fine. But I'm not complaining about having to work four or five days in August.
Tell your face it. That's all.
Yeah, I know. It's just I was like, right, I'm not doing any work because I'm leaving my kids for nearly 2 months, and I'm not very good at that. So it was like, it'll be fine. That'd be great, and then we're. Down in Devon and got the little
trying to tissue
got the little yeah got the little boat ready, got the barbecue fired up,
nice,
so ready for a summer, ready for a few weeks down there, which will be lush, mind,
relax a little bit as best you can, mate, before you head off.
Tell you what, I haven't been doing much, boy.
Training?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've not been training much. I've not been in the gym much.
Feel better for it?
No, I feel worse for it. I don't
skip. I've been skipping a fair bit recently.
Oh yeah,
but it's starting to hurt my foot, you know, like on the arch of your foot.
Yeah, you want to be careful of that.
Is it your plantar fascia?
Have you ever hurt your plantar fascia? Have you ever hurt it? Have you torn yours?
No.
Mate, that's horrendous.
Really?
Yeah.
But I've become really good at it now. Like, I do it really fast. And like,
do you?
Yeah.
Like Joshua?
Do double unders and like...
Like Bruno?
And, you know, just keep the rhythm going down the side. You know,
yeah.
You go, we don't actually skip, but you whip it down the sides. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
And you can't cock it up because you're actually skipping.
Yeah,
I went to Wimbledon as well. I went with John Dawson. We used to play rugby with back in the day. A mate of mine from school. Played for Saris, Quins, Wasps. So we went to Wimbledon for the day with Landry. It was really cool. Jimmy Carr was on our table for lunch. Gavin Hastings was there. As soon as Jimmy Carr arrived, he arrived like an hour late. Gavin Hastings started ripping into him.
He's like, you know him?
Because Jimmy Carr's wearing trainers. You know, no, not at all. Just hammered him. He was very good. And Jimmy Carr was, what a lovely man. He's the one who told me, and he said, what people don't know is female tennis players use different balls. They use different tennis balls.
Really?
There's no joke coming. So I put it on Twitter.
You sure it wasn't Roger Federer in disguise?
Yeah, it was. It was like, they use different balls. So men use slower balls, women use faster balls.
Okay.
So the disparity is bigger than we think. Between them, I mean, we know there's a disparity in power and that sort of stuff. Of course, there is. It's human. It's genetics. But then,
it's a circle of life.
Yeah, but and then I put it on Twitter, and a lot of people said they don't. Nick Mullins, who commentates Wimbledon, he said they don't actually. They did at the U.S. Open, but nowhere else. I think something like that.
That's a great one. He's probably having a little chuckle behind his back, saying, "I've just told them all."
Done it.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Carr,
they use bigger rackets as well.
Yeah, Jimmy Carr put me on to a couple of cool podcasts. Intellectual Dark Web, really cool podcast, intense. But he's like, you could tell about 10 minutes in, he is extremely bright.
Did you tell him about your podcast?
I might have mentioned it. He glazed over at that point and looked over my shoulder and started talking to someone else. But he basically walked in and he was like, he looked at me and Dawson. He was like, so you two play rugby, and if you don't, you should. You know, big laugh because you're sort of big lads. And I said to him, you work in a library. And if you don't, you should. I didn't say that, but I wish I had. It would have been a good joke, but I was scared to make jokes because he's a comedian.
You work in a morgue. Right, should we
Paul Bearer.
Should we get the guys in? Have a chat with them.
Yes, get the golfists in. Guys, we're trying to record a decent pod here and Jerry Guscott keeps walking in and ruining our audio. It's the closest he's been to our podcast. Asked him about 5 times to come on it. He's always too busy. He thinks it's because he's employed by the BBC. Doesn't want to get political, but at some point he needs to lay his cards on the table, didn't he, Jerry?
Yeah, I agree. Jerry. He's not a bad golfer though. Anyway, got to introduce two guests. We've got Laurie Cantor, who is
Laurie. What? Okay, sorry.
Who? This is your home club, isn't it, Cumberwell Park?
It is. Yep.
Yeah. Turned pro after winning the Spanish amateur tournament and also, I think, South Africa amateur tournament as well. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. You've really done your homework.
Thank
you.
Yeah. And we've got Eddie Pepperell, turned pro in 2011. Won the Masters last year.
The Masters Augusta.
The British Masters. Oh. Finished second this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going downhill.
Shame in it. On a slide. Yeah.
Third or fourth in the players. Is that right?
Third, yeah.
Yeah. Knew it.
Big money.
Tied third.
Yeah.
and what was the other one? What was the other one? Gone now.
Oh, I don't know.
Go on, just
Qatar.
Oh, last year, yeah. I did win in Qatar, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not so big money.
Is it Qatar or Qatar?
I would say Qatar. What's the thing that builds up on your teeth?
Well,
gingivitis.
No, what's it builds plaque. Up on your teeth? No, it's plaque. It's called something else. It's not Qatar, is it? Takar?
No, it's plaque.
Plaque, yeah, but it's still, they call it something else. Anyway.
Anyway, great to have you on, boys.
Well done. I've been good at golf, lads. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. I mean, Flats knows a lot about golf, yeah. So this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
But my first question to you both is, what is the most rewarding shot you can hit in golf? For me, it's just a drive down the middle. Forget like a 20-foot putt. It's just...
You're all about brute force, aren't you?
Creaming one off the middle.
Like you're all about brute force.
I'm like Brooks Koepka, mate. I drive every hole. Got guns. Good chat. Look pretty decent.
Scorched earth.
Yeah.
Big V8.
Same balance. But what is for you guys, what is the most... What's your most rewarding shot? What gets you excited?
If I'm being deadly serious, it probably is a 6-iron or something from the middle of the fairway. Just dead straight, nice and high.
Yeah.
Perfect flight.
Pin high.
Just stiff. Perfect shot. Yeah, with a 6-iron. That's what gets me, my juices.
Is that your favourite club, 6-iron, do you think?
Yeah, something about a 6-iron.
What is it about a 6-iron?
I don't know. It's just like a nice bum. It just looks good.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like whenever you're trying out new clubs, they normally get you to try a 6-iron, as they did with me. Give me a 6-iron and said, try it. Oh, you're hitting it so well. Just get these.
All right. Oh, really?
£1,500 later.
Here's my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laurie, what about you?
I would say like a sort of pitch shot, 30, 40 yards. And then when you strike it perfectly and it's sort of flying and it usually looks like it's going long.
Yeah.
Everyone sorts down, down, but you know it's going to spin.
Sit, bite.
But you know it's going to because you've struck it.
Come by. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come by.
No, sorry, that's shepherding. Sorry.
What clubs are you using? Come on, tell us.
I use mostly Mizuno.
Okay.
With my irons.
I've noticed that little brand. What is that brand? I've seen it on your shirt, the little fox.
Wolsey, yeah.
Wolsey.
The English, British brand.
Okay.
What's it when the Queen... what are those brands when the Queen kind of wears it? You know,
it's a supplier to the Royal Family type thing.
It's not Dutchy, is it?
No, Dutchy isn't a Dutchy.
That's Waitrose. That's where you get the eggs and
stuff. Oh, sorry, yeah.
That's where you pay £9 for a pack of bacon.
Giving away where I shop.
It's Charles. It's the Dutchy, isn't he?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll rent
land off him. So with, guys, I don't want to get too technical on this because I'm fully into it and I could ask you some stuff that would have you in bits. I mean, spin you up in circles. I don't want to do that to you because it's a nice relaxed day. But when do you, is golf one of those sports that when you're like 10 years old, you're a natural at it and everyone can see you're going to be good and you end up being good? Because of course there's a huge amount of work that goes in, but it looks like the sort of sport to me that you need to have. It's so skill-based, you need to have an amount of skill just given to you. Whereas, and I say that because in the sport we're from, in rugby, there are people who have long, successful pro careers who were not born with any skill and barely learn any skill during their whole careers. They're just physical specimens. And in golf, it doesn't seem to be that way. It seems to be you need to be born with an innate level of skill. Would that be about right, Laurie?
I wouldn't see it that way. No, I think it's... I think someone like Tiger Woods... would have perhaps given rise to that kind of theory because he started so early, a lot of skill. But I think the way it's moved now, it's so much more athletic. Like the guys playing now, I think you need a wider base of kind of athletic playing different sports, that sort of stuff. And then I think the transition to actually swinging a golf club, doing a lot of the things you've got to do well, you know, you can do from a wider athletic base. There are real fine skills to it, but that is, I mean, and that only comes, as with anything, doing a lot of it.
Different sports. A lot of repetition.
Yeah, and different experiences, like getting used to weather conditions, all that kind of stuff. That all makes, kind of impacts your decision making. But I would say it perhaps used to be more that way, skill based. I think there's more athleticism within it now.
Yeah, okay. So you do a lot of physical training, don't you? So you mean you've got a gorgeous body, Laurie, you know.
A tall guy.
We can all see that. Hey?
For a tall guy, Laurie does hold himself quite well.
He does, doesn't he?
You know, it's tough to put meat on the bone when you're 6'8" like Laurie is.
It is, and you can look gangly and awkward and apologetic, but actually,
which isn't a problem for myself and maybe yourself. I don't
want
to speak for you.
I'm a lot taller than I look, actually.
Let's be brutally honest, though. He is going to Ibiza soon, so there's a reason why.
Getting rig ready, is it?
There's a reason why he's worn a top like Lee Byrne would wear, you know, just above the bicep, so it makes it. I mean
that is technically, that's a t-shirt, but it's basically a vest. That, isn't
you
it?
Don't see Monty wearing a top like that, do you?
No,
God no.
Ernie, you don't see, see Shane Lowry wearing a top like that, do you?
The function of a really small chest. So if I wear a large top, it looks ridiculous. So the shoulders kind of hang off me. So this is kind of where I have to sit.
Yeah, but also, you know, it's the no pecs, no sex. That's the motto. We go along. How much physical training is involved now in golf? Because you see a lot of the players coming through now, you know, you've seen a shape change of, say, Rory McIlroy, who's gone from being a little bit, porky, to being incredibly chiselled now with permanently nipples on show.
Yeah. So Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously become more of a thing. I don't know how, I think it's probably become over. I don't know how important it is. You know, at the end of the day, you would know. The most important thing is being healthy. You want to be injury free.
Yeah.
Throughout as long as possible. And listen, you know, how much of it adds to performance? Certainly some of it, but it can also be detrimental as well. So I think Rory's figuring that out as well. I definitely think Rory's come off the training bandwagon.
Yeah.
He was on it hard, and I think there's a vanity aspect to it. Quite honestly, I mean, you know.
Absolutely, there is. Yeah,
and I think once you stop doing the vanity side, then you're fully matured. And I matured 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't follow me on Instagram.
Like a large piece of cheese.
I'm incredibly vain. how important to you boys, caddies? What sort of role do they play? I mean, because you're the golfers, you know, you're the ones that got to hit the shots. Is it more so? Are they just calming you down, talking to you, relaxing you, or is it a case of this is a club you're taking? Because I played with a couple of caddies before, because you've got to on certain courses, and they're trying to tell me, nah, just hit a 5-iron off this tee.
And I'm like, listen, jelly neck, I'll snap your back.
I'm hitting a driver, and you've got to fight me for it. So how much role...
I'll do your dentist a favour, mate.
Would you?
They do play a massive role. Often for good, occasionally for bad. I mean, listen...
Ian Woosnam.
Well, there you go. I mean, crikey, yeah. What a nightmare that was. I mean, it's a really tough relationship. I guess you can, I mean, it depends a little on the conditions, right? So for me, I always think playing in the wind, it brings much more of you into it. So you don't need that much, I'm going to call it, say, interference with the cat from the caddy, because it's such a natural shot. Only you know the kind of shot you're going to play. And so if the caddy then decides to have input, it can just be completely unnecessary. So it takes a caddy who A, knows how to play golf, or has that understanding, not to butt in at that point. It's a tricky relationship. It's very, very complex and complicated. And it's hard not to get frustrated when you're dividing the input, because that's what you are. They're sometimes going to get it wrong. You're sometimes going to give too much credence to their point of view, and it can be a fucking shit show, to excuse my French.
But how often would a caddy stay with a player then? Because you do see them, they do go from player to player to player. Is it like a shelf life with a caddy of, say, 3 or 4 years, and then they move on?
I think it's easy to go stale, because if you're having, if you're 25, 30 weeks a year with someone, and obviously usually kind of 3/4 of your year feels like a bit of a battle, even for the best players in the world. They're not playing the best, you know, most of the time. So that relationship definitely can go stale. I've seen it happen a lot. It's happened with me, but I've seen it happen with a lot of guys. I mean, seemingly there's definite balance. I think it's obviously a personal thing with everyone, how much decision making goes on, how much you use your caddy. Some people literally, like, the caddy carries the bag, that's it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Where did this relationship develop? Because presumably it was along, I'm not asking you for the history of, you know, the inaugural golf caddy, but it's like, presumably at some point there was a posh golf club, a posh golfer at a posh golf club, and someone got paid 50p to carry the clubs for us old boy.
Matt Kuchar's caddy, probably.
That there you go. That developed into what you see now, which is highly paid professionals. And where did that come about? Because do you guys need advice as you walk around? Can they be absolutely indispensable? It's an odd thing. Like,
I'll be careful here.
Yeah, but I'm sure there are good ones and bad ones, but I don't watch a lot of golf. Like, if I see one of you guys are playing in a tournament, I will follow it and I'll go on Twitter and online and watch it. But otherwise, I don't really watch a lot. So it's like, I still find it amazing that someone walks around carrying your clubs for you and gives you advice on what shots to hit, and you're one of the best players in the world. I find that really odd.
The thing that a caddy brings, should bring, is an objective eye. Like, you would know, we've all played sport. When you're in the heat of something, it's amazing how much fear can take over. It's amazing how much your history and your memory can ruin or have a serious impact on what you should do. The caddy should have that objective point of view that you're never going to have, because you're the performer, you're the person in the arena, and things are just messing with the reality or the correct way of doing something. So they should, in theory, be more correct and more often than you. But the issue there is, how comfortable are you going to be as the individual taking on the shot? And there's an element of comfort. I've seen Sergio Garcia, having played with him on two occasions, take the wrong club. It was clearly never the right club, but it was the shot he felt comfortable hitting. And he hit it to 30 feet, and he could have hit, let's say, the other club and hit it to 5 feet. But in his mind, he also could have missed the green and made a double bogey. So there's the element, there's those two elements that are constantly conflicting, and that's where it's really, really tricky.
Or you just get your missus to carry a bag like Lee Westwood.
Does he?
Yeah, works for him. And yeah, they have kisses after good shots.
Yeah.
Not so many.
Is that true? Does he do that?
Because he missed a couple of putts towards the end, and they stopped kissing then. But,
Great, apart,
is there like an app for like how do you go about finding a new caddy? Is it like
Grindr?
Is there an app?
Not a laddie.
I mean, if you're unhappy with your caddy, how do you go and find a new one? Is it just word of mouth, or is there some sort of
It's a lot of pair world slippery tactics. Yeah.
Is there?
Most caddies don't know how to turn a phone on, so getting them to download an app is...
We take them out for dinners and you wine them and dine them.
But they'd be the other way around, you know. I think it can often
happen. And 69 them, but I don't say that in the rude sense, because 69 is a good golf score, isn't it?
Brilliant.
I'm trying to be golfy.
You'd be happy
You'd settle for that.
Well, thank you.
We would.
Not around a par 67, it ain't. But
yeah. No.
It's all relative.
I would be gutted with that.
So... talk me through what's your best courses you've played, or the best course that you would play in the UK and outside the UK for both of you.
I like Hillside, which is
I've heard of it, mate. Where's that?
It's up. It's next to Royal.
That's
Birkdale.
Where I came second. Oh, the British Masters, or the Masters that you just alluded to.
Yeah.
Hillside, that one.
Yes, it is. Shanks agrees with you.
Who was it hosted by? Was it Justin Rose hosted it?
Tommy. Fleetwood.
Yeah, Rose was the year before, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Getting you red wine and
chocolate. Yeah, I can't wait to host one day. If that ever happens, I'm going to have a serious selection box of goodies for
them. When you say host, what does that mean?
Oh, I don't know what it means. It means
they just head it up. Don't
yeah, you get paid. Get loads of money in your foundation.
Yeah. Oh, but you play as well?
Voice, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to play, yeah.
Get all your mates in. Okay, yeah. So the hills in the UK. What about outside?
Well, the coolest course I've ever played is in New Zealand, that Cape Kidnappers. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's just out on five peninsulas, back and forward. It's unbelievable.
Visually, favorite course in the UK?
In the UK, I'm gonna say Royal County Down, probably.
Okay.
And outside, definitely Sawgrass.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying those two courses because I've done well at both of them. But first time I played Sawgrass this year, even from the Tuesday, I was just like,
amazing course, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Played there.
Best event I've ever played.
Titans Golf.
Oh really?
On the PlayStation, I played there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I joked in an interview this year about even on the Tiger Woods game on number 18 bailing out on the right, and you stand on that tee for real, and yeah, you shoot yourself. It's just water everywhere. It's an awesome course.
Yeah.
Awesome course.
Because a lot of our listeners are rugby people, a lot of them will love golf and will know a lot about it. Some won't. So one of the little mechanisms that you guys, it's obvious to you guys, but it's not to everyone else, is I had this bloke come through my garden a few years ago, and it was his second, he was a pro golfer, and he said, it's my second year out of golf. He said, I just couldn't afford to keep being a pro. I've forgotten his name, or I'll tell you. Chris, there you go. Remember Chris played golf? Yeah, golf clubs. So average height, average build. And he was telling me briefly about the fact that you basically pay for yourself to travel everywhere, stay everywhere. So there is this thing that as soon as you're a pro golfer, you're getting paid zillions of quid. And actually, it's not the case. Actually, everything comes out of your pocket and you have to balance up, am I winning enough to make this a viable career? That's right, isn't it? Because if you're a pro rugby player, everything, you're on a flat salary, everything's paid for.
Yeah, you know, no, you're dead on.
And he's just taken off his NetJets hat as he speaks.
Yeah.
Next step.
Yeah, they're, I think, $10,000 an hour they charge, I found out. I've never paid that, but obviously. But it is expensive, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, I'll be quite honest. I think my expenses last year were $500,000, but I earn a lot of money. But, you know, there's a lot of expenses, and that's obviously before.
How many are in your team then? Like, because how many, like, so how many coaches would you have? Do you have a physician that travels with you?
What's interesting with golf from my perspective, from our perspective, is that you pay off percentages. So
yeah.
you're only ever really paying out money to coaches when you're doing well. So you don't mind paying off those percentages. Obviously, the better you do, well, you don't mind because whatever, you're doing great and you don't mind paying the percentages out. But in terms of hotels, flights, or your travel, you know, that's not cheap. We'd all know that, having traveled. And yeah, you've got to pay for it. So it's definitely, I wouldn't want it any other way. It's great. It's eye-opening, isn't it? And, you know, it makes you realize you've got to get out there and earn your money.
Do you ever bunk in together?
Oh yeah, we have done in the past.
Yeah. I mean, I was just sort of laughing a bit there because when Eddie's talking about percentages, we had the same coach last year with another friend of us, Jordan, and
Jordan Smith.
Yeah. And so Simon was getting a extension put on the side of his house, and his joke was that, well, it wasn't his joke, it sort of became our joke, was that Jordan had paid for his extension, Eddie had paid for the kitchen, and then my percentages was going to sort out the new bins.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's levels to everything. But yeah.
Am I right in thinking that, Laurie, you had a choice between tennis and golf, and you once played Judy Murray.
Yeah,
Judy Murray, or was it Andy Murray?
Yeah, I mean this story. I definitely didn't have a choice. I mean, I played. Okay. I was like a good junior tennis player.
Yeah.
Played some national stuff. I was not going to be professional tennis player. Well, if I was, I was going to be. It was going
to
be hard.
But you
work.
Just wanted to grip something in your hand. Grip and rip.
I feel like when I'm holding something, I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
I like it.
Snooker.
So yeah, I never played Andy Murray at tennis. Although the story goes, I did because I played on a team where he was playing on the other team.
Okay, but so we'll.
There's a tenuous link, but
don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Just we'll say Jamie Murray, all right?
Yeah,
played against him. Okay,
against him. Yeah, and it was 3-3. Who you must have played loads of like pro-ams and played with celebs who don't actually play golf. You know, aren't professional. But have you ever played with a kind of non-professional golfer who is famous for something else and thought, or seen one play and just thought, wow, that guy or that lady could operate at a professional level?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's coming to your mind? Same guy as me?
Tim Henman.
No. He always had a semi on when I played with him. Shaq Callis.
Really?
Golfer. Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah, he's a really good golfer.
He's beat my ass at Carnoustie. Admittedly, I snapped my putter on the third green and shot about 84, but he is a good golfer.
He's really good. Yeah.
A lot of the critics get his hand eye, isn't it? What about on the other end of the scale, someone that is just completely, should just never ever pick up a club?
I think most rugby people I've played with, greatest respect, struggle with golf, apart from, it seems, nines, scrum halves seem to retain enough movement.
Yeah.
Where I've played with a couple of like scrum halves locally, like Chris Cook, Mike Baxter used to play for Bath, and they're like, they can really swing a golf club.
Yeah.
Like they're not necessarily.
Is that also not because they're quite clever as well? Because you have to
it's brains.
Number nine.
It's
brains. Yeah. Yeah. If you're a forward, you have to be
just
forward.
Myself and Matt Banahan have slipped through the net. That's all.
Yeah.
You're brute force, aren't you?
Banners is good. You know, he's good. Yeah.
Can Banners be delicate?
More than I thought. Yeah, he's obviously really athletic. Like he's a natural sportsman, and I think he's used that. He hasn't had a load of lessons. He can find the middle of the club.
He's also a massive man who hasn't, because he's so big and he plays in a position where you've got to be quick. He's never hammered the weights to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Most lads hammer the weights, and he doesn't. So that's probably helped him. So when you say the scrum half team, is it about physical movement for you? The lads are basically too big, muscled, and stiff. And arthritic to move a club properly.
Yeah, I think probably just the amount of tackles you have to make is like that like that, you're just braced the whole time, aren't you, in rugby? Mm. Like you're braced for an impact, braced to tackle people. And I think in golf, you need to be as relaxed as possible, you know, to get good movement. I think if you stood there, like, I just think the way maybe even like your nervous system works, like over years and years and years of like going on a rugby pitch, I don't think it's easy to translate. Whereas a scrum half, they make what, 5 tackles a season?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, they're all right, aren't they? But what's different?
Yeah. Jerry Guscott. I played with him. He's quite, he can play.
Yeah, he's good, about six, I think. I think about six.
He's a good player. Golf, you know, we just started, didn't we? That's, you know, your inability to move your arms above your head. If you can't, can't get your arms quite significantly above your head in golf, you're gonna kind of struggle.
The thing is with Jerry though, he didn't make many tackles, so you know he's still intact.
He's famous for it.
Yeah,
was he?
But yeah, famous. I mean, I'm just unconscious that he might listen to this because you two are on it, and I don't want to be too complimentary. Because it's Jerry.
He's essentially retired as well, isn't he?
He was telling us before we came on about how much he admires Boris Johnson, though, wasn't he?
Yes. He was. He's a big fan, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a big fan.
He wants to get out.
I didn't expect
he wants
that.
To get out.
Well, he said, if Farage can't be in, I want Boris in. That's what he said, wasn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing.
Yeah. Nigel Farage went to my school, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
You went to a very posh school, didn't you?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
There we are.
And sadly, Bob Monkhouse.
What was he like at school? Oh, he's obviously a bit older.
I wasn't at school with him.
No. Well, you know, it's hard
to
tell.
No, I don't know.
I thought I was you on his bus.
Yeah.
So, rugby, sort of socially with rugby, right? You know, there's a lot of bonding. It's a team sport. A lot of all-dayers. A lot of fun goes on.
Absolute bloody lads everywhere. Massive lads.
Drinking, you know, baby shams and wicked. What's it like as a golfer? Because obviously it's an individual sport. It probably can be quite lonely at sometimes. Do you meet up after, like, Travel Lodge after one of the games and just say, right, let's get down the hungry horse and have the all-you-can-eat buffet?
Let's flipping well do this.
Do you get to socialise with other players?
Yeah, you do if you want to. I mean, not a lot of it happens.
No.
But we are quite different creatures. I mean, the idea of lads, kind of, I find scary. But... yeah,
tends to get out of hand on a plane. That would be like typically you get a lot of the guys traveling together, like on the same plane.
Yeah.
Like Morocco, for example, the king flies everyone there and is playing and back. Get a lot of guys then on the way back, have a few drinks. They can get quite funny, but everyone is quite insular. I mean, yeah, Eddie travels with quite a few of the top guys now on planes.
Oh, so. Right.
Yeah,
I've heard stories about Ernie Els, his private jet, and you've got to surf the landing. Things like that.
Yeah, I've heard this story. I mean, I was on a trip back last weekend from America, to be fair, with a few guys. One of them has made the news headlines the last couple of days. But, you know, you can have fun.
Yeah.
For sure. I would say there's a...
When was the last time you
played? You don't want to get too pissed.
With a hangover. Do you remember? Oh, no, I do remember.
Oh, last Saturday.
What was
Memphis.
What tournament were you in? And you were doing an interview after, and you said that basically you and your caddy went back and... you had a shed load of red wine and you shot an amazing score.
You see, this story's been taken way out of hand because there's no way I'll drink with my caddy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, it wasn't your caddy then. It was your dog. It must have been your dog.
It was my coach.
You threw your dog over.
It was Shanksy, the guy whose kitchen I paid for. And it was at the Saturday at Carnoustie last year. I probably had a bottle of wine. I do blame IMG because I think the wine was pretty cheap. And, you know, obviously you need good wine and then you don't get too bad a hangover.
Eddie's getting pissed. Wouldn't be like you lads. It's,
oh, no. I can't do more than a bottle of wine. And I'm
Flats is mental.
Oh, honestly. I'm bloody mad.
You should see him. Oh. And his bombardier.
You say remind me of David now. Brent and Finchie. Yeah? You know, just
Finchie. Don't start with bloody Finchie. Just banter.
Boss and team leader. Drunken night out in Cumberwell Park. that's where we are, actually. I think we mentioned that at the start. And if you can hear some noise in the background, it's buggies reversing.
Also,
and
geese. Some geese just went past.
It's a busy club. And
Laurie instinctively went for his shotgun, but it wasn't.
What you boys expect to shoot today at this course? Because if you're not 6-7 under, then I'm not speaking to you after. Are you hanging around after, or are you?
That's definitely not mine. Okay. That's Flats, I think, isn't it? We are hanging around afterwards. What am I going to shoot? Yeah. I haven't played golf for a few days, for a while, a week. So
makes a difference, is it, a week?
Well, I took 4 complete weeks off with a back injury recently and picked a club up, having not touched a club for 4.5 weeks, which I haven't done maybe for like, I want to say a decade. And I felt great when I picked it up again.
Yeah, really?
It was as if I hadn't, actually felt better than when I'd last picked the club up, which was off the back of a few in a row. So amazing, just taking rest away from the game just seems to be so good. Yeah.
Both of you, obviously, brilliant golfers. Today, we're playing in a charity tournament here. We're raising money for Dorothy House. But Will you have a caddy? Will you carry your own clubs? Will you have a trolley? How would you go about playing in a four ball now?
Just carry your own. Yeah.
Carry. Would you? Trolley, yeah, maybe. No, yeah. Caddy. No. Have fun.
Yeah.
Want to interact with the playing partners. Prams are usually such.
Is it nice to play
great.
This type of format? Because there's only one match play, isn't there, on the tour they have, isn't there? Where, because obviously you've got to play to your car, so you've got to putt out. But having gimmies,
yeah.
And...
Yeah, I mean, I love Prams.
Yeah.
I'm excited about playing. You know, I've got a nice group today. I've been trying to get a game with you for a while.
Yeah, I know.
So obviously,
you two in the same group, Shanko,
yeah,
and Loza.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's an echo in the WhatsApp group. It's literally
so awkward. We're on WhatsApp, guys, for all you, both your listeners out there.
Hey Tom, just wondering if you want to play at
just
the Belfry.
Just don't be tying up because you're playing with me. I have that effect.
But it's Laurie. It's Laurie the pro trying to get around with Tommy the lion, and it's like, yeah. Shanks is just absolutely. Just ghosted him about five times.
So
not
so much fresh.
It's so awkward.
Yeah.
No, I had stuff on, you know, it was just busy stuff, you know.
Yeah, sorry, who is this?
Your other playing partner, Kate, she is the girlfriend of Alan Lowry, who's Shane's brother. So
really?
A bit of,
yeah.
Well, that was just, I mean, we'll let you go now because we're going on a bit. We have to talk a little bit about rugby.
Can we not be here for the rugby? Can I want to hear a little about rugby?
Okay, but
I won't
just,
interject.
Just before we get on to the rugby,
yeah.
It's I think European golf at the moment is in a fairly decent place. Would you agree? There's quite a lot of youngish stars that are rising through the ranks. I think I see a lot of talent coming through,
possibly.
Which can take on the Americans because, I mean, let's be honest, they've just got Brooks Koepka at the moment.
Hmm.
Would you agree or not?
Don't know. The Yanks are pretty good. They play a different style of game.
Yeah.
They're excellent putters.
Target golf, isn't that?
It is different. Yeah, I'm not inclined to really make any opinion at the moment.
Matt Wallace is coming through.
Yeah, well, I'm only good at, like, you know, the hills.
I'll tell you what you are good at. Can I tell you what you're good at? I don't need to tell you, but you know. But you're good at a par three, hitting every single club to get onto the green.
I am good at that.
I've watched that with Ryan Fox.
Yeah, and the thing is, I hit, like, I mean, I missed the green on the Sunday there with a flipping 9-9. It was the easiest shot, and I thought to myself, I hit this green with a putter and I carried it with a 9-9. And it's just mad, isn't it? Mad game. But no, I surprised myself that day.
Eddie's not in the young bracket anymore. You said young players, but...
No, I'm 28 with, you know, going on 74.
I thought you were younger because obviously the beard didn't look like fully grown. So I thought I thought you were still...
I dig see. Lads, you didn't answer the question. What par is it here and what are you hoping to shoot today? Because if you miss it, it's actually... excruciating, isn't it? Laurie, what are you hoping to shoot?
Well, the format we're playing, I've got a bit of insight. It's not as simple as we'll shoot a score at the end of the day. But if you're asking us if we were rocking up playing these two courses, you know, and there was something on it, I think you'd be disappointed if you weren't sort of 7 or 8 under.
Okay. Is it Texas Scramble off tee?
What's that?
It's changing every hole.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Keep
it
interesting.
Eddie, what are you hoping to shoot? Yeah. I want answers here because we can hold them to account.
Honestly, I have no idea. I don't really care about my score anymore. I'm a process guy.
Yeah, same. Just, and then the result takes care of itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But all those marginal gains.
I did have a coach once say, it's not about winning. I'm confident it is. Mm. I'm really confident it is.
Well, it is in rugby because you can only win or lose. I mean, at least in golf, you can finish third and still earn, I don't know, $725,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's exactly. Nice, finishing third.
Yeah.
Finished third in the Prem a couple of times. Didn't get a bonus.
No.
Dollars at 1.19 as well. So
it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good time to.
Yeah, it's good actually. That's nicely done. Shanks, what do you want to know? Do you want to talk about rugby?
I wouldn't mind just listening on 5 minutes.
Okay, fine. Well, on the rugby thing.
Just before we touch on rugby, I played in the Celeb Cup in the Celtic Manor recently.
Saw photos of that.
Yeah, thank you. Sent them to you, that's why. But the worst golfers I played with, Wes Brown, played with him.
Terrible.
And Derek Redmond.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. You know, I thought his dad was going to run on halfway through.
Derek Redmond.
Save him.
Yeah, of course. He was married to Sharon Davis, who lives locally.
Yeah. Was. And... they were the worst golfers.
The news. Sharon Davis, she made the headlines recently,
yeah,
she about the transgender stuff.
Yes. Transgender comments.
Yeah. Well, we probably won't touch on that.
Just touch what? We can touch whatever we want. Talk about it.
I would have put my mortgage on Derek Redmond never, ever, ever getting a hole in one. Anybody got one, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
What, in the tournament?
Yeah. In the tournament.
Wait for a punchline. Did he really?
No.
He's a terrible golfer but got a hole in one.
Yeah.
What'd you win, like a car or something?
I bought two sets of trousers just in case I got a hole in one. But
yeah, you bastard.
But he did get a hole. Yeah.
What'd you win?
Champagne, mate. Carver. but it's good fun. And I was in
Brexit.
But I love golf. Anyway, rugby. So,
but for, on the first question is, Tommy, Laurie is a big Bath rugby supporter, big Bath rugby nut. Now, I get asked one question, because I live in Bath, whatever. I get asked one question more than any other, almost for the last 10, 15 years, almost regardless of how Bath are doing, how good they are or bad they are. People ask the same question every time. What is going wrong down there? What is going wrong? And I remember once someone saying, what is going wrong down there? And I was like, we're second in the league.
Mm.
Like, we're second. Yeah, but you know that Leicester game. It's like, we've lost one game in 18 or something at home. It's like, what's going on down there? So, Laurie, what is going wrong? What's going wrong?
I always get nervous talking about rugby in front of people who really like know their rugby. But my,
you're fine, you're in good company here, mate.
My feeling on Bath is I have a really good feeling at the moment. I think Bruce has... He's gone off, he's done all his scouting, he's paid his money for his expensive coaches, and I'm not going to say messed about as part of a process, but then he's got Stuart Hooper in, he obviously knows the club. I think everyone's like, oh, he's, you know, not that experienced a coach. I don't personally think that matters that much. I think if he's going to oversee it, there's other really good coaches under him. I feel really optimistic about that as a system, especially in something like rugby. I think too much... At Bath, it's been buying a big name, and then they go off the international window.
Mm.
And it seems to me that top club rugby is much more about those middle guys, you know, like you're in brackets squad players performing for the whole year, rather than a load of marquee players and a big coach and all that.
And more so this year because of the World Cup, so they're going to need them more. And obviously, foreign signings play a massive part now in rugby, because you sign someone foreign, you're hoping that they're going to stay with you for the year.
Yeah.
Apart from someone like Faf de Klerk now, probably Sale thought they'd have him forever. He's playing so well. He's back in the...
And Kobus Reinach at Northampton. They sign a couple of guys who are like... It's like a club will pay over the odds. They'll pay more than they've ever paid anyone, or be the top earner. And they'll get someone from abroad because they're not getting picked for their home country. And it's like, well, if you're from South Africa, being, we all know, exchange rates... You can come over here and earn millions and millions of rand because you're not going to get picked for South Africa.
Mm.
You come over here and the Premiership has so much exposure, you're brilliant. Suddenly South Africa pick you again, and then Sale and Northampton respectively are paying you top dollar to piss off for a third of the season to play for South Africa again.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a
good answer though, wasn't it, from Laurie?
It was good. You're excited, are you?
Yeah, yeah.
If your club Bath could sign one player, it's a tough question. Who would it be? I would have said Brady Retallick till he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah, I would have said a massive, like the best I've seen Bath in like recent years was Mike Ford, the year after Gary Gold left, when Mike had the team, they finished second. The pack was dominant. They had George Ford on the front foot. I think like Priestland's that sort of player. Like if
he's
if you can get him going forward, there's enough quality in Bath that we could be phenomenal, I think. But I think that I'd love to see like a proper hard forward come in and just.
Bowden Barrett be all right as well, mind.
That's yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Where is he the Australian?
No, he's the Kiwi. Same.
Basically, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Is he owned Barrett Homes?
Yes.
Nice houses.
Yeah, and he's a partner in Holland and Barrett as well.
And he's a healthy guy.
Yeah.
His mum, weirdly, her maiden name was Barrett, and she married into her husband as Barrett, but she owned Barrett's shoes.
Yeah.
Wow. Family.
Sorry, Hester. Well, I stepped.
That's a successful family. That.
In the will, anyway.
So, have you been watching the Champions Cup?
No.
Is it the Champions Cup? Is that
Champions
right?
Champions Cup. No. So, what I've done is, I'm going to the World Cup to do the stuff with ITV, and you have to watch and do all your prep and that sort of stuff. So, what I've basically done is organise my Sky Plus planner. I've recorded everything. And I'm setting aside 2 days to watch everything early September, because I'm on holiday and I am not going to be doing any social media. I'm going to stop, not that I do loads of social media, but I'm going to stop looking at Instagram before bed every night, and I'm going to stop looking at it all for a month, and I'm not going to watch any rugby for a month. So while that probably doesn't help this podcast, I need it for my brain because it's going to fall.
Do you know otherwise. The scores though? Do you know what's gone on?
Yeah.
So New Zealand only just beat Argentina.
Yeah.
To be honest, the game's been pretty disappointing. It was a draw, I think, New Zealand, South Africa, last weekend. Nothing really much going on. Retallick is the big one. He's injured. Just get his shoulder.
That is, you know, that is massive. This guy, Eddie, I don't know how into rugby you are, but this guy, Brody Retallick, plays for the All Blacks, and he's a second row. And you think, well, you lose one big bookend, just stick another one in. You know, you want lose one mute, stick another mute in. This guy, when he's playing well, is, if he's not the best player in the world, no, he's, I think he's the best player in the world when he's playing well. He is just
for a forward as well, which is very hard to do.
He just does everything. He's huge, really physical, mega engine, brilliant at set piece, skillful footwork, ball player. He's just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I honestly think they stand a significantly, well, they stand a smaller chance of winning it without him. He's that good.
I mean, Wales are second at the moment, ranked second, which is really good. If New Zealand had lost by 14 points, they'd have been ranked number one in the world, which I don't think has ever happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've been in Switzerland at a training camp recently, but Toby Faletau, who's number eight from Bath, plays at Bath. He's injured his shoulder. He's out of the World Cup now.
Which he's out of the World Cup?
Yeah. Mm. Which is unbelievable loss.
Poor bloke.
He's the only massive injury Wales have had so far, but there's obviously games coming up now in the August period, pre-World Cup games, fitness, right? They're going out of, they've got Ireland, they've got England twice. So this is key period really of staying, of keeping your squads fit, because I think the Welsh are creeping up there as being massive favourites.
Difficult is, you've got to flog the boys though.
Yeah.
You've got to flog them.
Flogging isn't too bad. It's playing the games where you're going to really get, I think, your injuries, because they're called friendlies, but there's never a friendly.
They're
game
brutal, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
England had a scrum session against Georgia a little while ago, and Georgia have got the best scrum in the world. And it ended up in just a mass brawl, so it's a full-on punch-up with some of the best players in the world. But while that is funny and it's good banter, it's like you don't want Kyle Sinclair breaking his hand. You don't want him getting his eye socket or his jaw broken. It's like, you don't really want that. So it's difficult because you don't want to get people injured, but you have to get, if you're going to win a World Cup, it's something like the seven games, isn't it? So you basically have to play 7 weeks on the bounce. Some lads will get a rest, but you need lads in there that can play a part in seven games in 7 weeks, and there'll be seven of the hardest games you ever play. So you need to physically prepare. So you need to go full metal jacket in training a good number of times. It's like sparring. There will be boxers who can turn up to world title fights without having sparred, but there ain't many. So, and then if they get chinned, who knows what happens? But your difference with rugby is you are definitely going to get chinned. So you're definitely going to have multiple aggressive collisions. So it's like, it's really hard because you just lose guys. And someone like Faletau, he signs at Bath and it's all in the papers. He's on, for rugby, it's all relative. He's on top money. And the bloke barely plays, gets injured, gets picked for Wales, gets injured.
He was never really injured, to be fair to him, prior to coming to Bath. No, he wasn't injured as much.
No, Bath's been a curse for him.
Yeah.
He's just been injured since he got
here
almost.
It's just bad luck, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
It's that bad luck. Do you think there are, like, obviously the England training camps are in the news a lot. That's something I've always, like, when you guys, obviously you've been at Sarries, Bath.
Yeah.
Were there clubs and regimes where you were like, this is definitely, there's something coming here.
I think for sort of, if you're talking about fatigue and you're talking about pulled muscles in your legs and tearing muscles because you're overworked, I'd say some regimes and some clubs are probably worse than that because they train you hard. But to dislocate your shoulder or to actually break a bone, I think it is unlucky.
So there's not a coach called The Undertaker or anything like that?
No, there's certain players you keep away from, which, if you run into them, they're going to hurt you because they're just too full on. But
test match, you call them. Every squad's got a test match. So every day is a test match. Like, I remember watching, I've heard about it a couple of times, and watching Wales train a couple of times. Alan Wynne-Jones plays touch on a Tuesday morning to warm up like it's a fucking test match. It's like, mate, chill out. But that is the reason that he's one of the best players ever. But there are lads that just maim people, aren't there?
Yeah, and there's others like us where you team up with someone and they run at you and you touch them, they fall down. You're like, oh, great tackle, mate, great tackle.
You try
and hide away from it. But in terms of like golf boys, what is a common type of injury for you guys to get? Tendonitis?
Lower back.
Okay.
Seems to be, lower back, it's not built to rotate. So, and then I actually think with the travel, combined with that over time, I pretty much every golfer has some sort of lower back bulge or effusion or end up having autofusion surgery, like something like that happens.
Just make that up.
No. Oh. No, it's that's what
really, it sounded really,
it's like a nightclub. Yeah,
an autofusion. No, yeah. As well as what Tiger Woods had. But it's that seems that in your neck.
Is it difficult to come back from an injury? Because in a sport like golf, do you have to adapt your swing then to your body as the older you get?
Yeah, I mean, this body's
things like hip sockets, quite genetic. So, and that's a big part of golf. You know, the internal rotation of both hips, particularly your right hip if you're a right-handed player, huge part of the game. Mm. So for somebody like myself, I live kind of between 15 and 20 degrees internal hip rotation, whereas someone like, say, Adam Scott would be comfortably in the 40, 50 degrees, which is really healthy because then you don't have to put any shear stress on your lower back. So if you then have that issue with your hips, then you have to find the rotation elsewhere, preferably thoracic. But you end up, when that gets a little tight through travel, whatever, use a bit of lumbar spine, bang, back and go. So, you know,
it's an amazing amount. I bet if you asked pro rugby players who've been having daily physio since they were 18, you get a 30-year-old, a 28-year-old rugby player, there wouldn't be many that could just, that would know that. It's amazing. There's this different thing. Like you guys, it's an odd thing. You guys are in charge of so much of what you do.
Yeah.
Rugby players are in charge of nothing, pretty much, except what they eat.
At home.
At home. When you eat at home, that's basically it. You get in, lie on that bed, do that. It doesn't mean they're all dum-dums. They're not. It's very, very bright blokes playing rugby, as you well know. But actually, it's interesting. I mean, I was a prop, so I had back physio 3 times a week for 20 years, 15 years. I'm still not sure which is lumbar, thoracic. I don't know. You talk about shear stress. Never heard that. My hip rotation, wouldn't know. And my back and hips were everything in my job, scrummaging. Mm. I wouldn't have a clue. So it's amazing what you guys...
Top, middle, and bottom. Do you think the physio should have given you more ownership?
Oh, they probably wanted to. Right. They probably wanted to. I couldn't give a toss. Right. And I was...
You probably thought thoracic meant T-Rex thoracic part. You know, I mean...
Exactly.
Something in your throat, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to eat and play, and I wasn't interested, to be honest.
Yeah, there are golfers like that. Absolutely, there are golfers like that. I've only had to acquire that knowledge because I've had some back issues, and you know, I need to take a little more care. So,
you just mentioned Adam Scott there. From both of you now, who would you say that when you look at, you think that is a nice swing? That's a beautiful swing. He's up there.
He is right there. I mean, Jason Day? No, Jason Day's too violent.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, anyone where it's like a flow, almost like passive speed.
And then
it?
What do you think of someone like Ernie Els then, who's just TikTok, isn't he?
See, he's never done it for me, Ernie. For me, he's never quite done it. I like...
He's really stylish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's really stylish. I don't know if it's a great looking swing.
What about Ben Hogan? Have you ever seen footage of Ben Hogan swinging?
Now, yes, years ago.
That is
Sam Snead.
That is just a work of art.
But it's a bit different swing then, isn't it? You know, your left leg comes in a lot more then. Now it's you plant your feet down.
Yeah, that's I kind of prefer the old-fashioned style where there's always something moving.
Yeah.
It's like they're dancing with a little stick at the end of their hands. And I think it's pretty beautiful to watch. It's like, it's like a piece of art, you know?
And I suppose the reason why they keep their legs straight now and sort of more so planted is there's less room for error.
Well, interestingly, there are tons now of back problems among teenagers playing golf.
Okay.
Because the modern way of teaching has been to limit hip rotation.
Yeah.
To create, you know, for whatever this modern theory of teaching. But now you're finding a lot of young kids coming out.
Really?
I've spoken to a number of doctors on tour about this, and there's serious back injuries going on at the age of 20, 21, which should not happen.
Because you're trying to teach them to, is it right that you're trying to teach them to hit long first? And then teach them sort of accuracy more so.
I don't even think biomechanically that the whole idea of limiting rotation is to create like more of an angle between your upper body rotation and your hips, which is supposed to create power. Again, I think a lot of that was based on Tiger.
Yeah.
And I think his body was a freak and his body is completely broken down. So it just shows if you idolize someone to a point and try and copy him.
Yeah.
It, most of the time you're on a hide into nothing because it's the things you can't see.
If you had to pick what you preferred, either Tiger and McIlroy finishing off in the PGA Wynyard or the Stenson Mickelson shoot off at the Open.
What, Tiger won in the Masters?
No, he won PGA before that, didn't he?
The Tour Champs.
I didn't actually watch that. I think I was watching Eastwatch Game of Thrones at the time instead. Oh, far more entertaining.
Yeah, way better.
Should we not talk about the ending of Game of Thrones? I'm still not over it.
How do you feel? I met someone the other day who I've only ever watched one episode of Game of Thrones. I watched the last one to see what everyone was on about.
Gee.
I said, that's not what it's
was
about.
Was that Piers
Chief.
Morgan? Because he tweeted that. Piers and Morgan. I know he's a...
Well, no, the guy who said it, I was on holiday in Chile. The guy who said it to me, he's still in Chile. I killed him. So.
I hate to put him in the freezer.
I just snapped his neck for him. So you like Game of Thrones?
Oh. Best show ever. I still think it's the best TV show ever, even in spite of the terrible ending.
I agree with you.
I didn't mind the ending.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know
I was in from the start. Like, I've watched it all. I've watched them all blossom.
Watched them grow.
Yeah, it started off like Spartacus, didn't it? And then sort of the nude scenes.
But you weren't happy with it?
No. I was really.
But you can't please everyone.
It tied up a few loose ends, though, didn't it?
Well, but I didn't think it was a show at that point that needed to tie any loose ends. Like, it wouldn't have been a problem for me if the Dead completely won. That's George R. Martin. He hasn't never given a, he doesn't care what anyone thinks about the bad stuff, killing babies and all that sort. That's the beauty of the show. Yeah. It was such a horrific reality to it.
Underwhelmed with Jon Snow's sort of how poor he was in a battle. He didn't really do much in the battle. No. I know he kills her.
He got lucky, didn't he? He had to rely on his sister. And I wanted to see the Night King fight, you know.
Yeah.
He looked so badass and we never got to see him fight.
Yeah, I really wanted that. Mm. I really, really wanted that.
But it was, you know, still a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, sorry for bringing
I don't know what it's like when you're a golfer, how much free time you've got, but as a rugby player, before you have children, you have loads. So I've watched everything. I've seen everything, seen it all, done The Wire, done everything.
Yeah.
And I've done The Sopranos start to finish. And Game of Thrones is the best television programme I've ever watched. Unbelievably good.
Agreed. Gomorrah, though. That's really good, guys.
You've seen Gomorrah?
I've seen bits of it.
It's a bit like Sopranos.
If you start at the start.
Is it Italian?
Yes. And it's from Naples, and it's brutal.
It's great on a plane. You know, if you're on a plane, because you can read the subtitles, you're not...
Well, I don't know. I like to drink on the plane.
There's that. One of the subtitles is... I reckon one in three things I watch has got subtitles, and I like ones with subtitles because you can't do anything else, so you're properly into it because you miss the whole thing. But the only problem with subtitles is I can't have my dinner on my lap. You can't eat, you miss it all. So you got to do it after dinner. So that's 30 minutes of TV time lost to me. Mm. It's just practicalities, guys.
If you eat like a crocodile, so I mean, it's not going to take long, is it? just chew it straight down the gullet.
Just poo the hooves out a week later.
Have you seen The Lion King yet?
No.
My
girlfriend really does. Is it? Well, she wasn't that.
Oh yeah, no, it's rubbish.
There's a film coming out about Pavarotti, which would be really, really good. The life of Pavarotti. And I'm in it. I'm a body double. But Pavarotti once sung with Placido Domingo and
in the Crescent.
Was it Atreia Bocelli, was it? Yeah, the Crescent.
Yeah.
And the three of them, they did a big thing at the Royal Crescent years ago, 03 it was. And it was called The Three Tenors. Do you know how much it cost to get in?
Tenner.
Yeah, it's tenner in the end. So anyway, Pavarotti stayed in the Royal Crescent Hotel. He needed a certain mattress, big unit. And he's Pavarotti, so it's like, I want a certain mattress, get it. And I want blue M&Ms, whatever reason. I want all the staff to be nude. And everyone's got to have tattoos in their foreheads. For Pavarotti, you do it. So they got this mattress, but it was one night. He stayed at the hotel. So this mattress is then out. And...
probably December.
Basically, Matt Perry, who played fullback for Bath, he might even be here today, Pez. His girlfriend's mum was a cleaner at the Royal Crescent. She became my cleaner later on, Yvonne, lovely lady. And she got the mattress, Pavarotti's mattress, for Pez. Wow. And Pez had Pavarotti's mattress. And when I first signed for Bath, Pez was away. So my mate Tomo and I stayed at Pez's flat. And his bed wasn't the best bed, so I snapped his bed. I was on his bed and I'd love to give you some legendary sex Olympic story. I sat on the edge to put my socks on to go to training and the bed snapped. 2 years later, Pez had a long-term girlfriend. They end up getting married, lovely lady and all that stuff. And we're at a party and someone mentioned Pavarotti. I said, hey, Pez and Lucy, they got Pavarotti's mattress. And Lucy's like, we're still on the floor. We still sleep on the floor. 2 years later, Pez hadn't fixed the bed.
No way.
What I'm trying to do now is think of a better...
Do you have Olympic sex?
Better ending to this
story. Do you have Olympic sex?
Yeah, yeah.
So every 4 years.
What ended up happening, I got in touch with Pavarotti and he came over and signed a mattress for Pez.
No, that was... I finished it for you there. I was finishing with a joke, wasn't I?
Oh, Olympic sex?
Yeah, every 4 years.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
And Andrea Bocelli signed... I asked him to sign my bed, but he ended up signing the frame.
You can come on again.
What's he going to do about it anyway?
Right, gents. We better let you get back on to...
Big day for you boys today, because you're the big show. It's like if Shanks and I turn up to a charity game for a chuckabout, we got to dominate.
Guys, I love golf. It's only one spot I spend money on. I love it.
It does blow me away every time I play with other sportsmen and how much you
Pro V1Xs, sometimes just Pro V1s, depending on the condition of the course.
The amount rugby players love golf and love you lot.
What's the M4 driver like, guys? Amazing. Be honest.
I can't say I've tried it.
Oh.
No.
What's that?
I said
I'm an M4 driver.
I'm sponsored by TaylorMade. I just buy TaylorMade.
Yeah, I will only use TaylorMade because it's a discount store near me.
No, there's not at all. But anyway...
Well done.
Hey, thank you very much for giving us an insight into
thanks for having me on.
Top for having us. Golf. Cheers, guys.
Rugby World Cup quickly. Laurie, who do you think is going to win it?
South Africa.
Good call.
Good shout. Good Very call. Good shout. Eddie, you into it enough to have
Yeah, I think China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, they're the home team, right?
Yeah.
And
fitness levels are good.
And they've got loads of players as well.
We're saying this, the thing with the Chinese, they tricks up the sleeve, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Tricks up the sleeve.
Play all their games at half two.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Well done. Well done, lads. Good luck today. Don't cock it up, all right?
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.